You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
We're recording. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
And I said that very quickly. If you see this glass I almost knocked over here. We are celebrating tonight because it is Wednesday. Actually, it's Saturday night. But we are saying salute.
Salute.
90 Day Soulmate.
For everybody.
Happy evening, day, whatever it is for you, wherever you are, when you're listening to us, watching us. Wherever that might be. So many things have happened over the last week, which we all are aware of. We're not going to talk much about it, but we know that the Queen passed away. And I'm not a big follower of the Queen.
Me either.
But we would like to give our respects to the people and the family who have really followed her for many years. The work she's done, what she has meant to the people of the UK and around the world, and offer our condolences. But today, and I use the word but, we're going to talk about lies.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everything we just said was a lie, because we do offer our condolences. We want to talk about lies in relationships and how they...
Interesting topic.
How they impact. And we came up with two major reasons why people lie in relationships.
What is the first?
Baby, you look so good tonight.
Thank you.
Now, that's not
a
lie. That's not a lie. But the two reasons typically are, in a relationship, is the lie done to protect the other person? And we all know, does this dress make me look fat? Do you like my mustache, honey? Oh, yes, I love it. That the thing is to protect the other person. That's one lie, and those are typically the good lies.
The white lies.
The white lies.
We call it like that.
Oh, white lies. Gringos. The gringo lies. And then there are the lies that are protecting yourself. Oh, I worked late tonight, and I came right home as soon as I was done with work.
Sure.
I was about to leave, but something came up.
Really, really something.
Really, really. To tell you the truth, I was on my way home, and then I got a call from the office, and I needed to go back because of this thing that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
This or that. So there are different expressions that people use when they are lying, different things that you see, and you have to understand, is the lie that's being, like, one, do you actually perceive the lie? Are you being lied to? Are you the one lying? Do you perceive it? And then is the lie being told to you because you think they're trying to protect you, or that other person is just trying to protect themselves?
I guess that the third one I want to include is when you are scared to lose something or create uncomfortable in your relationship.
Okay.
So then you lie to try to protect yourself in one way, but also because the people is scared. And also happen with the child. Sometimes child feel like they scare the parents, maybe punish for something to do. So they start to lie to the parent, try to, because it's scared.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that people lie about. And let's talk about relationships rather than children and parents for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had a couple of different articles that we've read on this, a couple of studies. And I want to start off by naming the top 10, at least from one person's standpoint, one article written on, the top 10 things not to lie about and that people do in relationships. Would you be interested? You hear
sure,
this?
Sure. Go ahead. Tell me the top 10.
Number one thing, especially in new relationship. Oh, I'm completely available. Yes, I'm single. Where do you think I'm going with that?
To try to demonstrate.
Well,
appearance.
What people who are lying at the beginning of a relationship sometimes are saying, oh yeah, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a boyfriend, I'm not in a relationship, I'm single, and yet maybe they're still married.
Mm-hmm. I am single.
Oh, this ring, I just can't get it off my finger, it's surgically attached. Oh, I didn't even know I had this on.
Okay, so why do people do that?
I think it is because people haven't given the commitment to their current relationship, and they're just trying to play the field. But if they're doing that with you, what's the likelihood that they'll do it with someone else and someone else and someone else?
Mm-hmm.
But that is just an outright lie, not to protect you, but it's to protect them and to allow them to keep moving forward in potentially a relationship with you.
The promotion time.
So there's a second one, which was available, mm-hmm. available emotionally. Oh yeah, no baggage here. Why are you crying? Oh, nothing. People who are not available emotionally. So that's also a lie. Oh, I'm completely available, no problems, no past relationships. Which actually goes into another lie. Lying about past relationships. So one, the first one we talked about, are you actually out of that relationship? Or that it was a mutually acceptable breakup? Rather than, oh, they caught me cheating and so they left me. So lying about past relationships is another thing that is a top lying topic in a relationship. We talked about red flags many episodes ago. I think back in the days before I had a beard, and that's not true. But we talked about...
You start to practice
lying. I'm practicing lying now. Lie to me. That certain lies, or actually many lies, are red flags. One, I think one of the studies you brought up that if somebody lies to you one time, they probably already lied to you 3 to 4 times. That if you're catching one, there are probably 3 to 4 other lies that
coming
you are
soon.
Not coming soon, or that you've already witnessed, but you didn't know you witnessed. Another one is money. That's another top thing that people lie about, their money situation. One, how well they get paid, how much they owe, what their credit card debt is, purchases they've made recently. They don't want to tell you that they just spent $600 on a pair of shoes.
Really? You did that?
I did. A pair of shoes, yes. Beautiful shoes. Sequins. Actually, years ago, I was really into boots. I'm talking about cowboy boots.
The pink
Uggs,
one that you
Uggs. No, I had black leather and brown leather. I had something that I called snakeskin. Another one that was like brown
what
and white.
Because
I had all of these.
You
well,
sold,
over time.
Sold,
yeah.
You sold on eBay?
I sold them on eBay. After a while, you know, you wear through them. Or I didn't like being 2 to 3 inches taller all the time, too, because those boots have these big things to keep you out of the mud and keep you out of the stuff that you find on a farm. And of course, the, what do we call ourselves? Urban? Urban farmers? Urban cowboys? We wear these boots because this is back years ago when boots were fashionable. We'd wear those. And yes, I would travel for my job, pick up some boots somewhere. But no, I haven't spent $600 on boots yet.
What do you say to your wife when you bring the book? Are you following the apron?
Oh, look at this. Look what I got for you. Meanwhile,
it's
I got this
size.
For me, too. Oh, these don't fit you. They're my size. Oh, well.
Sorry.
No, that's not it. So we talk about money and purchases. Another one. Mm-hmm. This is. I need to have a drink for this next one.
Wow, what is that?
Mm. So you're starting a relationship. You're in a relationship, or you've been in a relationship for a long time. A new subject comes up. Mm-hmm. Kids. Oh, sure, I want kids. And you're lying. Don't do that. You should be very upfront in a relationship. You may say, hey, I don't know yet. I might not. But that is another one that can be a deal breaker, that somebody lies about wanting to have children with you. We talked a couple of episodes ago about having common goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're in a relationship and you're younger or older, but you want to have kids, that is a huge common goal for a relationship to have, for two people in a relationship. Whatever the status of your relationship is, that is a huge one. Another one here is, which this is kind of difficult, I think, in a way, it's cheated. Oh, honey, I cheated on you. We were playing dominoes, and I covered one of the dots. I really didn't have two ones.
Oh, you're talking about the cheating.
Dominoes,
I'm
no.
Thinking about others.
It is. The list actually talked about others, is that cheating is a very delicate subject. But I don't even know how to say this, because one, don't cheat. Two, I think they talk about cheating is even the thought of cheating, meaning, you know, I was at work and I was hanging out with this person for about 30 minutes. It's being honest and open about the little things so they don't become the big things. And maybe they were speaking about in this article, don't let something go longer and longer and longer until it actually becomes emotional or physically cheating with somebody. That be upfront, let them know, I spoke to this person at work, I have no interest at all, but we're going out again next Wednesday. No. A few episodes back, we also talked about talking badly about somebody and how that, not me talking badly about you, but talking badly about somebody who would potentially be a romantic interest, and you say, you start bringing up their bad qualities. You actually look at their bad qualities, talk to them, talk to your partner about that person and that person's bad qualities. Why would you do that? It would reinforce your thought of this person is not a good person to be with, and that I'd rather share that I am committed with my partner, then think about this other person. In fact, I'll share with you the bad things about this person. But these are really complicated
in
a way.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
So it's almost like the thinking and talking and acting in a certain way, because if you have all your thoughts and your actions in the same direction, then you don't have this cognitive dissonance where you feel badly, you actually feel good about opening up and sharing. Another one is, oh, I can't see you today. I've got the COVID.
Again?
Oh, I had
last
it.
Week
I told you.
You have.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is COVID-20.
Okay.
That was COVID-19. I've got beta, alpha, zebra. I've got cobra. COVID beta sigma, COVID BS. Anyway, that's one, is lying about being sick is not a good thing to do. Somebody catches you lying about being sick, it's not good, or catches you. If you catch someone that they're telling you they're not available to go out because they're sick, well, why don't they just say, I can't go out, or I don't want to go out with you, rather than string you along. And the opposite of that is, oh, everything's fine. And then you find out that they've had COVID for 3 days, or they've had something else.
And spray for everybody.
You know, they spread it to your whole family.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. So here's another one, which is, where is this one? Oh, it's okay. someone asks you, you're having a physical relationship now. You've built your relationship to a point that you've been out with them for at least 2 or 3 minutes, and it's become a physical relationship. Or you've gone on a few dates and it's become physical. If the person is not honest with you about how you are together physically, oh yeah, everything's okay, rather than, you're not satisfying me, or whoa, you're too satisfying, you know, calm down a little. If you can't be open and honest at that point, early on in a relationship or a little bit into the relationship, when you start having a physical relationship, not being honest with that, that's another thing that is common for people. But it's something
also, it's difficult to people to talk about this topic.
Sure.
Yeah, in the beginning, so you have to be really smart the way how you deliver this information without creating drama.
I believe one of the dating websites, this is going back years ago at the invention of the internet, had a list that you could talk about. You could answer these questions on what do you want to talk about, share when it came to a physical relationship. And I think that was pretty good, which was it kind of showed you from the front at the beginning of looking at people's profiles that this person does want to talk about intimacy. They do want to talk about physical relationship, what they may be open to, what they may not be open to. I believe, and I'm not sure which one that was on, if it was on Match, if it was on Plenty of Fish, if it was on that, I was about to say 23andMe. That's not a dating site.
And you can find your family in 90 days.
You don't want to find your family. That's not a good gene pool to be dating from. Which gets us back to the royal
but
family.
But this happened after the physical relationship. Physical relationship
physical
is
relationship.
When you do exercise with
yeah,
your partner.
Yeah, you go work out together.
Because
that's good.
I try to understand the terminology.
The last thing, I'm just skipping ahead now. We're just going to skip that subject and go right on to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong. Not saying something is wrong when something is wrong. You're feeling that the person isn't spending enough time with you. They're spending too much time with you. They're making you feel bad because they drive a little bit crazy. And you don't share it with them. Something is wrong and you don't share it with them.
You want to share something with me? Is this the point?
Oh, we'll be back after this.
No. With Lisette and Jim.
Actually, let us take a break now. We'll get more into things that people lie about in relationships according to others besides this one little article we read about. And we also have something on a study on perceptions of lying. What does that do to the commitment and the feeling of a good relationship if someone perceives that you are lying or you perceive someone is lying? We'll be back right after this break with 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Brought to you today by 90 Day Solutions, auditing, training, consulting, documentation, ISO 9001, 14001, 45,000,
and 27,000.
That's business, auditing, documentation, training, and consulting. We'll be back right after this message. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
And today we are talking about lies in relationship. So I'm going to take a path, like we always do, down a different path for a moment. Because we started off by wishing condolences to the people from the UK or any follower of the Queen and the family as well. But what actually is a queen and what or king and what do they do and what do they do in the UK? And we were like trying to figure it out. Like, what does the queen do? Does the queen say, off with your head? Or anything like that? Are they So, in any case, there's a reason this whole thing started. It started with, there are 5-mile-long lines, 8 hours of waiting to see the Queen for 10 seconds, 5 seconds, as you continuously walk past. And people are lining up. And it kind of, we were looking at, what are the reasons people would do this? What is the reason that society has such an affinity for a royal figure? The UK is a constitutional monarchy, which means there's a parliament. I always have problems with that word. But they've got the government that's from elected officials. And then they have the monarchy, which is more symbolic and more for pomp and circumstance, or whatever that word is. But it represents, the monarchy of the UK represents the people, and it represents what we see from the outside when we look at the country. It's how we see that country. It's how that country is represented. So the feeling is do people feel connected to that? Meaning, do the people who are there that are waiting online and honoring the fallen queen, do they feel so socially connected to? Is this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something socially? Is this just a social movement? Is this a, I feel so connected to the UK, and have I lost my own identity, and has my identity kind of been part of that? So I think there's some people who just want to honor. There are some people who want to be part of this giant social event. And
some people want to have COVID.
Some people want to have COVID. That's it. So the reason that I wanted to go into this is that are people looking for something greater than themselves to help lead them, to help tell them who they, you know, tell them who they are, what they are? And is some of this protecting their own self, protecting their own ego? Do they wear this royalty as like an armor, as a connection to the next person, that we can talk about the royal family, we can talk about the castle and these things, and it's some way that we are connected with others, and we kind of protect ourselves. Moving us to lies. Are lies things we do to protect ourselves? Because we're fearful. We're fearful of losing the other person or having that person angry at us.
Yeah.
So going back to, I think, some of these things is, why do we tell lies? You know, and I don't want to say that the association of the royal family, or being for people in the U.S. who are like, oh, the royal family, and they're so enthralled with it, and is it that they see this years and years and years of international connection between the royal family and the world, and see that as a an amazing tale? Is it a fairy tale? Is it a reality? Is it that the Queen has had so many years of involvement that it's really, you know, that she has done it with honor? Or has there been controversy and they're very interested in that? But going back to the lies portion is, do we lie to ourselves about things to make us just feel better about life? And now in a relationship, do we lie to each other?
Yeah, that's a good point.
To feel better about life.
Mm-hmm.
Because why should I hurt my partner? And I think if it's done in a loving way, I don't want to hurt my partner. But if I keep doing stupid things and then I lie about them to not hurt my partner, I think that's not good either. So again,
but I guess that the interesting point that you say is love yourself, because some people understand or know the relationship is not go in good way, retract to acting. Oh, everything is okay. Everything is normal. Everybody have this kind of stuff. And maybe, you know, have time to talk and be open and say, hey, this part is not working right now.
And that was something we talked about before. The people who don't say that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say something's wrong. You don't say that, you know, in bed, I was weirded out by when you did this. I'd rather just not say because I'm very, what is that called? I'm very shy. I don't want to say anything. Or I don't want to hurt your feeling. Like, you're really enjoying yourself. You know what? If you enjoy yourself, I'm just not going to say anything about it. And then by me not saying anything, am I lying? And then you pick up on, like, ooh, a perception. He's lying. And, you know, does that turn into a bad thing in a relationship? Let's go through certain ways people phrase things in lies. So, you accuse somebody, let's do it that way. You accuse somebody of, you didn't put laundry detergent in the wash when you did the load of wash. And this one study says that somebody who did it would just say, no, I did it.
That's it.
But this little thing talks about, they say, oh, I never don't put laundry detergent, a double negative, never. I never forget to put laundry detergent in.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than,
why you told me that I not put the laundry detergent in?
Yeah. Or the repeating of the question. Are you saying, are you saying that I didn't put laundry detergent in? So the first one is going from a single occurrence to a, oh, I never do that, which is like, it's all or nothing. I think that's called all or nothing from another book I remember we read.
Mm-hmm.
It was the all or nothing, that I never do it that way. So how could I have done it this way this time if I never do it that way? Which is all or nothing. That's a bet you don't want that person to take because they are definitely...
It's lying.
Lying to you. The other is when they repeat the question back to you. Did you drink all that wine?
No. More than this.
All right. The repeating the question back is, did you drink all that wine? Are you asking?
You asked me that I drink all the wine?
As you have another sip. Of course. So the repeating of the question, why is that? It's giving the person time to process the question, to come up with a lie. This is part of that police interrogation thing, I think, when we were in California. Not being interrogated by police, but learning a little bit about it, that we heard some of this stuff. This one I couldn't get. This. You're talking about this? Like, they don't want to specifically say the thing that they're lying about. They just call it like this. They dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of addressing the issue, they dismiss it. They make it not important. This.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who is answering your question is going, and who wants to answer your question truthfully, is going to be clear. They're not going to give you this whole big story. One of the ones we had was the person who just murdered somebody, and I think it was one of the examples given out at that California class. What were you doing? What were you doing out there? Did you kill her? I was selling Bibles door to door. Are you a Christian? You know, one of my favorite chapters is this, that the person goes to a completely different topic, but that other topic also is showing how a good person they are.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, no, I didn't kill them. No, I didn't do that. They give you all the reasons why they couldn't do it, because they're such a good person. They're selling Bibles. And so not directly answering the question. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are just absolutely crazy, though, and they go around in circles and they don't get to the point. What's this one, though? The why I have to do that.
Okay, so this is the way you also try to flip in to you. So I ask the question to you versus that you ask me. So you say, you did that. You say, why I have to do that. So I
asked you, I asked you to water the
Why didn't you water the plants? So I say, why you ask me about the water the plant?
Why do I have to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, rather than did you do it or not, they start asking you about why do I have to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are pretty obvious things here. And what was the other one here?
But other people use. It's unconscious reaction.
And the what was the other one? The butt defense. But.
Yeah.
But. Did you do this? But. Like there, it's a, they don't want to say no. So they use the word but.
Go to like, other way.
Yeah, go a different way. So these are a little bit different ones. So sometimes, and this was one we talked about earlier, and when I say earlier, not on the show, is low self-esteem. That people lie because they have low self-esteem and they don't want to appear to have done something wrong, so they'll lie about it because they want to protect their self-esteem. Where someone else who has strong self-esteem might just say, yeah, I did it. But the other person is like, okay, they're angry at me. They're angry at me.
They say no.
They're timid, right? You said that. They're timid, mm-hmm. low self-esteem. So sometimes people lie, not because they really want to hurt you, but just they're actually scared of you. They're scared of how you're going to react.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to look at ourselves and going, am I causing this person to lie?
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as they lie, I go, and I get all upset. Now, or as soon as they tell me the truth about something and I don't like it, I get upset at them. So why do they tell me the truth? Especially if they're a soft-spoken person.
Mm-hmm.
Where some people have really high self-esteem and they think they can get away with lying. And it makes them happy to lie. And they're like, I'm so smart. I can lie. And they don't even know I'm lying. But you probably do. We talk about different types of lies. So someone who actually tells you something completely wrong. You know, so did you do that? No, I didn't. Lying. Did you do that? And they don't even answer the question. They start talking about other things that went on during the day. You know, that's the omission. They omit the lie. What did you do today? And they talk about all these other things, but they don't actually talk about the thing that you were talking about. healthy lies. We talked about healthy lies. Oh, here's one. When somebody lies to somebody else, sometimes that person who's lying thinks the other person is stupid, or it makes that person feel, I'm being lied to, you must think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing for a relationship.
And also for audit, you know, I am auditor, so sometimes you have the evidence in the table.
Mm.
And then the people start to lie, and did you feel like the what? So the evidence here, and you create something so you believe that I don't got it. So I feel uncomfortable. I prefer be honest, and we figure out how fixing the problem versus that you start to create one fake history.
So when should you let somebody lie? When should you let them lie and get away with it?
Say it again.
When should you let somebody lie? When, like,
I know it's an obvious lie. I did, but I'm looking for evidence and show. So my day by day, when I catch the people lie to me,
yeah.
I just looking for more evidence and put in the table. I'm looking for other more, and I try to go, maybe we invest time because we want to keep the good relationship with the customer, but you have to have a skill to not pushing so much that people feel angry or feel sad. Then at the same time, you have to be focused on the topic because the people can include emotional stuff, can avoid, like you say, the people start to omission or avoid the topic, and we have to bring back. And also I use the return the question of the person, so you believe with this evidence you do the right stuff, so the people say, oh no. So in this moment is when all come down.
So do you do that, though, if they're in front of a group of four other people and you understand that they're not telling you something that's true, do you call them out in front of the other four people, or do you just accept it for the moment, then break off with that person and then go, hey, when you did this, let's talk about this because I know this is this. And then you call them out, but not in front of others, because maybe it's a small little lie and you want to protect them from being embarrassed in front of coworkers, their family, friends. And that's where you become a moderator and almost like, I don't want to say the bigger person, but you got to understand when it's good to call somebody out online in front of others, which is probably when it's a matter of life or death, or, you know, what do you mean? If it's something that's going to impact people, like, did you check the air pressure in the tires before we started on this trip? Oh yeah, I did. And like, yeah, let's do it again. You know, that's different than did you pack an extra sweater for the trip? Oh yeah, I did. And you know, they didn't. Completely different. You can call them out on the air pressure on the tire in a nice way versus the extra sweater. It doesn't really matter so much. So I have some other things here, and let's see if I can find them right now. So the top 20 lies we tell our partners. All of our partners? How many partners do you have? That's a weird way to start a thing here. Yeah. This is an article written, I believe, in the UK. So I will not do it in a UK accent.
Okay, what is it you say?
I am listening.
Okay.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
And this is a lie?
Huh? I'm sorry. Like when someone, hey, are you listening to me? Oh yeah, I'm listening. And they just haven't been. They've been doing this on their phone while you're talking to them. And then you say, hey, you're listening to me? Oh, I'm listening. Yeah, okay. I'm listening is like one of the top ones that people say that isn't
so
true.
So when the people say that, I talk some Spanish word. And the people really don't pay attention, so I got it. You don't listen to what I say.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I got it. Number two, I'm not in a bad mood. Are you in a bad mood? I'm not in a bad mood! Now you are. You've ever seen that when people say that, like, are you in a bad mood? No, I'm not in a bad... And they yell at you, I'm not in a bad mood. Of course you're in a bad mood. Because you're always in a bad mood. Oh, hi. I only had one drink. I only had one drink, but I'm blowing a 0.32 on the breathalyzer. Oh, that's, I love this one. And this kids do this, adults do this, everyone does this. Oh, I didn't see your text. Oh, I didn't see that you called me.
Yeah.
Right? People do that all the time. You know, you were saying, where have you been? Where have you been? I've been texting you all night. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your text.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We talked about this one earlier. And seeing that this one is number, what is this here?
Five.
Number five. You don't look fat. I, this is an overused one, of course, which is, do I look fat in this t-shirt? Oh, you don't look fat. That's like a.
So the first
like a
never
good lie.
Ask this question.
Never ask it.
Yeah.
No, you don't look fat, but you are fat. No, that doesn't work either. So, all right. Oh, we've got some difficult ones that we're talking here now. So, of course, the next one is, I'm sticking to my diet. Well, let's talk about really quick the person we were talking about earlier this week, which is the overweight person who is having health challenges, and they tell everybody that they've been really strictly sticking to their diet, but it's not helping. And when I talk, this is severely overweight, and it's a very tragic health consequence from
because
doing this.
So the heart is not working well, the oxygen don't go, the brain fall asleep every time.
The idea that I'm sticking to my diet, but I am drinking like a fish, and I don't get that expression because fish really don't drink. They, right? Or maybe that the fish is in the fluid, so maybe that's what they mean, is that, but they are partaking in drink, and so even though their food intake is down, their drink intake is as high as it's ever been. But the lie is, I'm sticking to my diet, when they're not sticking to their diet, or, you know, they're doing something different. I had an orgasm.
Show me the evidence.
Show you the evidence. That's a tough one to lie about. I think that that's mostly then a woman saying that versus a man, I would think, right?
Yeah.
It's much more obvious. Oh, this is what we were talking about. We were talking about shoes before. This isn't a new outfit. Did you just get that? Did you just buy that? No. This isn't a new outfit. So that's another one. We already talked about that one, so I'm going to leave that one alone. Oh, I wasn't checking her out. Oh, I wasn't looking at him. You seen that?
The wholesome guy sitting in the other table.
No, I didn't see him. I didn't see him. Oh, he had something in his teeth, too. Yeah, but no, I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
No. How about, I didn't break that. Mm-hmm. How did that glass break? I didn't break that.
Break alone.
It break by itself. Well, while you were out, this stuff happened. I was out with friends. All the people from the TV show Friends, I was out with them.
Okay.
That was one. Oh, I like your friends. You know, hey, how come you don't hang out with me? Do you not like my friends? Oh, I like your friends. Just not when they're together with you.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to be polite, because if you are completely honest, I don't like your friends. Maybe the people, maybe not make a comment, you say. You know what I mean?
Yes. Here's another one for you, which is goes back to clothes buying again. Someone gets you a gift, and then you never wear it. In fact,
you gift it to
someone else for the next holiday. You re-gift it to someone else, and then they say, "Hey, that black T-shirt I got you, that one with the special concert thing on it, there, the Grateful Dead 1972 concert thing." Hey, I have you ever worn it? Do you wear it? Where is it? Oh, I'm saving that. You know, so
it's in my closet.
It's in my closet. You know that? Oh yes, I love it. I'm saving it. Yeah, people say that in a relationship too. You give somebody a gift, and they look at it. I got something years ago, which was a rock. It was a plastic rock, with a Christmas hat glued to it, that had a wind up. What was it called? It was like Elvis Presley, some kind of rock and roll Christmas thing. It was just like this plastic thing. And all the thing, you could use it for 2 weeks at Christmas. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with this for the rest of the year? So it's like, I'm not going to carry this from house to house to house as I move 36 times. So the rock goes away. But it was a gift from at the time, mother-in-law. And it was... to me, I was like, this is crazy. What do I do with it? So it disappeared, but I still have it. What's the other? Oh, saving that out for a special occasion. I like your cooking. I've been telling you that for years. Yeah. And I got to tell you the truth. I like your cooking.
I know. I wanted to say no so we can
stop
eating outside.
So we can go eat out. Yeah, here are some other ones. I'll just read through the rest of the list real quick. I've never cheated on you. It's a common lie. I like your parents. Oh, I never went out with them. Oh, like you see someone at the reunion and your wife asked you, do you know who they are? Did you date her in high school? And you go, I never saw her before in my life. I don't know who that is.
Salute. What happened with my wine?
With your wine?
is elaborate. Uh-oh.
We'll have more after the break, but finally, this one. I didn't put the dent in the car. I remember as a child doing really crazy things in my parents' car. My brother and I used to take this. It was an old station wagon. It was a Malibu station wagon. I think it was called a Malibu Classic. And there were these streets on the back roads of Long Island. And they'd go up and down like this. And they were just little back roads. But if you could get the car up to 50 miles an hour, you could actually have it leave the ground. But that was a fond childhood memory of a flying
car
in the street. So
much.
Did you do that scratch? No, I didn't do that scratch. I don't know how it got the scratch. In any case, we'll talk more about scratches
and liars
after this break. You'll be back with 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, auditing, training, consulting, documentation for business. ISO 9001, 14001, 45000, and much, much more. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
In conclusion to our lying segment is how do lies impact and affect the relationship? This study that I have in front of me on this little phone here talks about commitment and satisfaction in the relationship as two outcomes of lying and deception. And it's not that those are positive. It means that what's the extent that deception from your partner, how does that impact commitment and satisfaction? And as you could probably guess, that if you perceive your partner as being deceptive, there's a very, very strong negative correlation with commitment to the relationship, and a very even stronger negative relationship to satisfaction in the relationship. The other things that are kind of interesting is that there's even a higher correlation to you yourself using deception in the relationship if you think your partner's using deception in the relationship. So even beyond low commitment and low satisfaction, there's a high level of the use of deception between both people. So it's more likely that both are deceiving each other in a relationship where if one notices deception, they then start deceiving themselves. So they start lying to the other person. Hmm. Highly correlated. So the use of deception is low in relationships with high commitment. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing, which is a negative correlation, is the use of deception and intimacy. You want a very good intimate relationship? Do not use deception, which I'm sure that many people out there are probably going, makes sense. If that person's lying to me, I don't want to be intimate with them. And so in the most intimate relationships, there's a sense of no or low deception, or as we talked about before, healthy lies. Lies that build the other person up and protect the other person. Perceived understanding, meaning the use of deception is negatively correlated, once again, with perceived understanding, that I don't think they understand me if they're lying to me, which makes sense again. And so finally, I think we can talk about, successful deception is negatively correlated only a little bit to satisfaction commitment. So if somebody has lied to their partner successfully, it still impacts the relationship negatively for some reason, but it's very small. It's a small negative impact. In fact, the value of it and the certainty of this is so low that you could almost say that it's neither negative or positive. It should not even be talked about. The perception of deception is a huge negative for commitment, satisfaction, and intimacy. The use of deception begets deception. If one person lies, the other person lies, and it continuously builds. That if you want to have a deceptive relationship, you'll have no satisfaction, little commitment, little intimacy, and most likely you'll have a short-lived relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it from 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Brought to you by 90 Day Solutions, auditing, training, consulting, and documentation.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.